lost in the world of the yeshiva guy is the concept of gemilus chasadim. We take very literally the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, and it's very hard to find somebody who really puts themselves out for chesed when they're in yeshiva. For some, bringing someone's tray back during breakfast or lunch constitutes the greatest chesed that they did that day. That may be the greatest chesed they have done for other people within that day. For some others, it might be lending a pen to someone. But of course, you only lend a pen to someone that you trust, and you're not going to give it to someone who's not going to give it back to you. Maybe there's a little bit of chesed that's done by working for Walter at a wedding or something else where they couldn't afford to have waiters, and you put yourself out there and you're doing something. But unfortunately, that concept of chesed is lost with the idea of learning and putting yourself in every single day. In fact, I could probably count, if I really tried on one hand, the amount of days that I took off of yeshiva when I was in Eretz Yisrael for 8 years, the amount of days that I took off to do something chesed oriented. I don't, you know, and if the number is zero, it's possible. It's possible that it was 0 days that I'd taken off for that reason. I don't remember. It's just not done. Now, I don't want to say it's a lost cause, but an actual chesed, meaning losing time, actual time out of your day, putting forth efforts, and doing something that you don't really want to do because someone else needs it, is something that seems to be forgotten about while you're in yeshiva, and it's very difficult to come about even when you leave yeshiva. I'm asked quite often by first-time mothers in shidduch questions, and does he do chesed? It's on their list of questions to ask, and it usually is number 8 or 9. It depends on which list of questions that they have. But what kind of chesed does the guy do? And I'm almost always at a loss to answer that question by almost anyone that I've ever answered it by. There is almost no one that I've ever answered, yes, this guy is a great Baal Chesed. I mean, I haven't been asked about the Frischmans yet, so it's difficult to find the unique types of characters, which still exist in our yeshiva, but those types of people that are really Kulo Chesed, that put themselves out there and do things that are like that. There are people that will argue, and sometimes they'll argue correctly, that Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam is the true definition, and that when you have an opportunity to do chesed and yet you have another opportunity to learn, they say Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, we should learn and not do chesed instead. And that is a true statement. We do say that every single morning. I hope we say it every single morning, that Torah does supersede other chesedim that a person could possibly do. A lot of people, however, more pin it on their impossible strict schedules and say that there's no time for them to find chesed when they have a full day that's filled with learning and everything like that. I'm not going to point out sarcastically that you have 4 or 5 hours free every single day at least if you take your current yeshiva schedule. I don't see people in here during breakfast and not too many people here during lunch. And during class time, when you don't exactly have class, it's not like you're filled in the base medrash and you're doing something in the base medrash. Even if you are studying in your rooms, going over college classes at the time when you're not learning, nonetheless, no one here can tell me you don't have a ton of extra time. That's not including Friday, which is basically a free day, as much as people do learn until 12, and all of Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos, which obviously is an open day to be able to do anything. The answer when it comes to things like that is, you're not crazy busy. No one is too busy to be able to do a chesed for someone else. You just don't want to give up your me time. Me, capital M, capital E. That me time is almost impossible for you to give up. You want it so badly. And I need a lot of me time, because I need to be healthy, mentally, physically, everything healthy, in order to make sure that things go well. And if I don't have it, well, then nothing will go. I won't be able to learn, I won't be able to do anything. And to give it up to be able to go do something else for someone where I'm not gaining, it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible. You can't. You don't want to.
And that's why it's a lost cause. Almost a lost cause.
So what happened on this past Sunday? It was amazing. It was absolutely one of the most amazing things I've seen in a very, very long time. Why was it so amazing? So, I'll grant it that it's not that difficult to peel a yeshiva guy's eyes off of a sefer for the last hour and a half of Seder. To go up to a guy and say, like, all right, guys, we're going to bat over the next hour and a half. There aren't that many guys who are going to say, like, no, no, Rebbe, please don't. There aren't that many people that are going to do that. So there are, of course, and those are the greatest guys. But nonetheless, it's not that difficult to do. But nonetheless, making an impromptu chesed wedding for a Rebbe where there was really no other choice, and to bring it here, to bring it in Skokie Yeshiva, look at this place, right? And to transform it into a wedding hall, right? To make it into something where everybody, right, can have not only just a good time, but look at it and say, wow, this is amazing. That took a lot of effort from a lot of people that did a crazy amount of things. So some people, as soon as Seder was over, officially, at 11 o'clock, got out of here as soon as they possibly could. You couldn't see them. Maybe they took a chair or two, and they grabbed it and they put it in the back. Maybe they were able to do that. Maybe they took a table. Maybe they were able to set it up. There were people who ended up getting out there. There were other people who, after the room was basically cleared out with, I mean, listen, we probably had 30 base medrash guys and kolo guys helping out, and probably, I would assume, something like 25 to 30 high schoolers that were helping out. And that, in a span of 13 minutes, the entire room was cleared, and we were already starting to put out the chairs. In a span of 22 minutes, the entire room was completely set up for a wedding. Closed off, and everything was done. With everybody's help, with everybody doing one thing or the other, sweeping up, mopping up, doing everything that needed to be done to be able to happen here, there were people that were working here for 20 minutes, and that's great. And then after the 20 minutes were done, they were gone. There were people that just left right after that. I will tell you, those that stayed witnessed a spectacle like you've never seen before. At one point, I just stood there open-mouthed at what was going on. You had people, I mean, just, if you could bring yourself back, if you saw it with your own eyes, you can picture it in your own mind. If you didn't, I'm going to try to make it a picture for you. You had people that were setting up the chairs in two different ways, with one base medrash guy that was setting everything up in a way where only a person with an eye for detail can be able to set it up, to make sure that the chairs were placed just so they were perfectly placed. Another guy grabbing garbage cans, turning them over, right, without the garbage in them, right, and putting white sheets around them so that you could put on little vases or of tulips that they happen to have sitting over there, so that it would look like you actually have an aisle. You have people that were grabbing white sheets to put it on top of the Aron Kodesh. Other people were grabbing white sheets to possibly cover up some of the Sfarim that needed to be covered up. You had two guys that were in charge of making sure that the Ezra's Nushims were going to be put together in such a way that there wouldn't be so much of a... think about it. I mean, the gridlock of 40, 50 people trying to grab stuff and put things away at the exact same time. Guys were getting coat hangers and bringing it out here to be able to make sure that they had places, people would have places to put coats on. There was about 12 to 15 guys that were outside using little snow plows, little shovels, doing anything they could to clear out the sidewalk that was outside while the snow was coming down, pouring on them almost. Some of them without even bothering to go back to get their coats. They're not sick, by the way. I did check up on everybody. No one who worked at the wedding was sick today. No one got sick from it. But they all went outside and they're shoveling one or the other. And every time you shovel, you finish shoveling, they have to go back into the exact same thing. There were people that were running around trying to do anything they could to make it a little bit nicer. Should we open up the shades? Should we close the shades? Should we make sure this is covered up over here? Should this not be done? There were people who mamish cared. That's not including what happened in the high school base matters, in taking care of all the tables and all the chairs and making sure it was entirely cleared out. Not including what happened in the Chiri and to make it into a Chasan's Tish room, or in the Rosh Shiva's office, or in my office, to make sure that everything was cleared out a little bit so things would happen. It was unbelievable. And by, I think it was around 11:55, when everything was basically finished for a wedding that was set for 1 p.m., when everything was finished and everything was set up, you looked around and you saw the people that remained. Everyone was exhausted. There were people who were sweating in the snow, sweating while standing outside trying to clear stuff off. And the Polsteins walked in, Right? They walk inside and they're amazed. Because if you really looked at it, if you didn't see the pictures, it is amazing how it was transformed. Little fake rose petals all going at a little runner that went up to a talus that four poles that were walking around. And everyone here who worked, even if you only worked for a minute, you had a chelik in that. You had a chelik to do something which was so special. Hachnasas kala in the literal sense. Not hachnasas kala by raising money for a chassan and a kala to get married. Not hachnasas kala is in being misameh a chassan v'kala. Hachnasas kala literally in allowing a kala to come into a place where they wouldn't have had a wedding otherwise. Where their wedding hall was cancelled, everything was round, and we did it. And we finished it up in 45 minutes. 45 minutes we made it into a chaticha that was something to be proud of. It was so chashuv. And you saw people, and you should have seen the pride in those faces of the people who were still working hard, still mopping up the floors, after people were walking, still mopping up the floors, and then wondering, what can we do next? What can we do now? I myself can't get over the amount of time that people spent outside. There were two high school kids who stood by those doors opening up for anyone that came in, standing in the snow, in the freezing cold out there, waiting so that nobody has to do the code to be able to get in, because who knew the code in order to get in? There were two high school kids that were grabbing people's coats and hanging them up, helping them right around there. There was another kid who was waiting, telling everybody where to go. Other people from the Beis Medrash were out there directing traffic and making sure they knew which way to go and where it was. And you still had the people with shovels, and you still had the people with the snow plows still going from one place to the other, working around for the next 2 hours. People were helping cars get out. When I left at 4 o'clock, 4:15, sometime around then, after everything was quieting down, everything, after the dancing was done and everything, there were two high school kids who came up to my car and said, "Do you need help, Rabbi?" and took a shovel and started shoveling out all the snow around my car, because it's been snowing since 7:30 in the morning when I got here. Right, when I got there that morning, since 7:30, my car was under a pile of snow. I just sat there and shoveled it out until I was able to get out. I don't think you get it. I don't think anyone really gets it. I don't think anyone really pulled together what we were able to do as a team, as everyone together. And to have such an opportunity at a time when normally we're learning, when normally we're able to get a Seder together, to do it during that time and to make this chassid happen is a schus. It's an unreal schus that was put in our laps. And if you took advantage of it, great. And if you didn't take advantage of it, you should have. You should have taken more advantage of the situation. There was an unbelievable opportunity for everyone to grow, not just become Talmidei Chachamim, to grow and become real Anashim, or possibly even Malachim, by that situation. And you saw it. You could see it in people's faces once they were finished. And then there was yesterday. What I found amazing on a crazy snow day when people couldn't get themselves out is how much chesed there is in the world when people need help. When people are sitting there, on Sunday afternoon, when I had already left, I had to pick up my son from somewhere. As I'm coming home, at Sacramento around Devon, there was an Arab guy who was stuck in a regular Toyota Corolla. He couldn't get out of a little snowdrift. So, an Orthodox Jew, a Reformed Jew, a Christian, a Hindu guy, all came out together, and we all moved to get this Arab guy out of the snow. Just, all of us put together, and each one of us is threatening, some of us are grabbing snow with our gloves, we're trying to make sure that this guy gets out. And nobody thought anything of it. And as soon as somebody else got stuck, then everybody else went to go help him. There was no question of, well, I've got to be somewhere, or I want to get my car out. Nobody thought that way. Everybody just got out, moved their car to the side, and went to go help somebody. If you woke up yesterday morning, and you were in a place that did not plow, like Chicago as opposed to one of the suburbs, right? If you went to one of those places, then all you saw all morning were people helping other people, getting their cars out, or shoveling other people's walks. You had an unreal, another opportunity for chesed. A crazy opportunity for chesed. To go shovel the walk for someone who's elderly and not charge you $5 for it. 10, 15, 20. To go help somebody who might have needed help. Do you need any groceries? Is there anything I can get for you from Jewel? You have the ability to get people's cars out. You have, I don't know what this would be in the real category of it. This is almost like Hakhnasas Orchim, if you're going to Jewel and then getting them the food that they need, or if there's some, just the general cloud of Gemilas Chasadim, you had an opportunity, another opportunity, for unbelievable growth. And there are some people that on a day where I couldn't get to Yeshiva on time, there was no way, it was impossible for me to get there, but on a day where it was, I don't know, there was opportunities just not just for growth, to make you sweat in the snow for other people and to make them see a Kiddush Hashem like they've never seen before. I purposely didn't wear a hat. I purposely kept on 180s on my ears so that people could see that I have a kippah on. I know I look rabbinical looking anyway, right? So I had it on so that people could see I'm going out there and I'm trying to help along with everybody else. You had a crazy opportunity, another opportunity to be able to do chesed, to be able to help people, to be able to make sure people knew, and you either did or you didn't. You either took it or you didn't. And such opportunities for chesed by a guy are rare. Because, again, you're not going to be visiting people in hospitals. Maybe you do, and you're unbelievable for it. You're not going to be that guy. We don't. We don't allow ourselves to be at Yachad Shabbatones or Chesed Shabbatones as much as we should be. And maybe you do, and you're awesome if you do so. Maybe you are involved with these. But for us to have such opportunities, I feel like the white of the snow is the white of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed coming down. Sometimes I feel like it's Gehenna. And I'll give you freely. And there are other times where I feel like it's an unbelievable opportunity for me to do a mitzvah that I would never be able to do otherwise. To be able to help people that I wouldn't be able to do otherwise. To make a Kiddush Hashem that I wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And I hope people felt that as well. But of course, there's people who slept through the entire thing. Who just, they were tired. And they got a day off. So what do you do on a day off? So you just sleep through. And you took a couple extra hours. And in such a situation, you're able to go through. They have no idea that anything's happening, except that it's basically a day off. It's a day off. I don't have to do anything, so I get more me time. Not just a capital M-E this time. I mean like a huge, blazing M and E. That's out there. A huge, great big one. See, those people don't have a smile on their face from what happened over the last 2 days. Those people are probably not aching in their arms or their back or their legs because they didn't have those opportunities to be able to do chesed. Those people may have missed out on something that could change their lives. Could change their lives. But that's why I'm giving this shows. Because that can't happen again. There should never be a situation where such an opportunity for chesed comes up and you're not there on the front lines fighting. You can't allow that to happen. Yes, you could say, I'm going to go ahead and learn. And even though I'm not doing chesed during this time, don't worry, Talmud Torah Kenegi Kula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you a gift, an opportunity for a different form of growth. And you have the ability to make up your learning at some other time and lose sleep over it. Instead of treating it as, here's my opportunity for personal growth, use it as an opportunity to help others grow with you. And to make it happen that there's more Achdus, Kiddush Hashem, anything else that's there for Klal Yisrael to become greater because of. It's a different world because of what everyone did for that chesed wedding on Sunday. I'm getting text messages about it. I'm getting emails about it. I'm hearing from people what people said about what Skokie Yeshiva guys did for that wedding on Sunday. And if you don't realize it, I wish somebody would have just filmed the entire thing. I think my brother took a video camera and taped the last 5 minutes of everybody clearing everything up. I wish somebody would have just filmed it and shown everyone what people can do when everyone gets together. Because we had an unreal schluss, an unbelievable schluss. I have a couple other things to say, but I'm not. There's no reason to put people down specifically, but I found a lot of hypocrisy during the past 2 days as well. There's no reason to go into it. Why bother with the people that didn't learn their lesson or in fact lost from the past 2 days, as opposed to the people who absolutely gained and became greater. What I'm telling you is, if you were involved, smile. Because you just became a better person, and you literally changed the world because of it. And if you weren't involved, think of what you can do next time. To make yourself not just involved, to decide, what should I do when a situation like this arises? Is it better for me? Is it better for me to be able to take the time off from my learning in order to do it? Or am I going to become a greater person from my learning during that time? And figure out the answer. And if you don't know what the answer is, then go ask your Rebbe. What do you think I should have done in that situation? What do you think would have been better during that time? Would I have been better suited doing A or B? What should I have done? And if that question isn't asked, what should I do next time there's a snow day? There's a possible other snow day coming tonight. What should I do in a day where I can't get out and I can't be in yeshiva and I'm not doing Seder? How should my 3 hours of morning Seder best be spent? Should it best be spent sitting in my bed, doing nothing, sleeping, or watching something that I shouldn't be watching anyway? Or should it better be spent going out there and doing stuff for other people who are definitely getting stuck everywhere? What way should I spend my day? What should I be doing? These are the questions you should be asking yourself for the next time that there's an opportunity that throws itself out there. And if you think about it now, then there's no question. When these chesed opportunities come up again, it won't be a coincidence that you're in the right place at the right time to be able to lend a hand and to make sure that things happen in the best possible way. If you don't think about it, the same thing is going to happen. Same exact thing. And you can either make a decision that's okay, or make a decision that's not okay, and you won't really think about it until afterward, and it won't really matter because you won't be thinking about it after, and that's that. There are people that are not here at the shmooze right now. And there are people that did not help whatsoever. And they're not going to think that anything was wrong. And I'm telling you, that's wrong. That was absolutely wrong. And there's so much. I'm going to end with a line. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but basically it is the following. You have to learn how to give up your me time. That's what all of life is about. You have to learn how to give it up and not just say to yourself, I'll make it up later. Just say, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to be able to do something for myself because I need to help others. And until you feel the way, until you do that, your life is going to be lacking. Something is missing. Something's missing, and you're never going to be able to find that extra piece until you give it up. Anyone who's married can tell you this firsthand. Anyone who has kids can tell you it 100 times over. You have to start realizing it's not about me. It's about everyone. Take that to heart and realize that you have to start looking at other people and saying, what can I do to help them and not just myself? Until that happens, you're losing out on life. That's the final answer. You're just losing out on life. Don't let that be you. Have a good day, everyone.